today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
God's principles are found in His Word. Then its nature, it is right. It means that it sets you on a right path. Psalm 119, Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible gives you direction and purpose in life. And then its power, in verse 8, it rejoices the heart. It sets you on the path of joy. You want to have joy, even in the midst of difficulty? Read God's Word.
The first thing Satan attacked was the Word of God, saying, did God really say? It's his tactic still today. He causes people to question the Bible's relevance, purpose, and sufficiency. Yet as Pastor John explains today, the Bible is without error or fault. It's timeless and clear. Scripture guides your life and gives you purpose. It will never change and never be irrelevant. It is the Word of God. It's perfect, and Satan can never refute or defeat it. So treasure the Bible. It's of far more value than all the gold in the world. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of Psalms, chapter 19, as he continues his message. Listen, God is speaking.
And God breathes out. And all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for all good works. Write down 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, where Peter says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So we have the classic passage in Timothy of inspiration. God breathed it out. Then we have the classic passage in Peter where he carried them by the Spirit. They didn't write out of their own minds or their own heads. Now, I want to go over verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, and 11. But I want to take 7, 8, and 9 and break it down into these six statements about the Scriptures, each of them having three elements. So if you're taking notes, write them down. Number one, it is the law of the Lord, verse 7. It is perfect, and it converts the soul. So the title is the law of the Lord. What does that mean? It means in the Bible, we actually have God's laws. And we're supposed to have laws in America, but I don't think anybody's enforcing them anymore. But the law of the Lord is perfect. Verse 7. So what it is God's law for life. Laws for life, you might say it's the manual for living. And its nature is that it's perfect. Now, the word perfect would be better translated comprehensive. It's not perfect in the moral sense, although it is, but that's not what this word means here. It doesn't mean it's free from sin, but it is. But in this case, the word perfect means complete. It has the idea of four sides, or all-sided would be the idea here, or comprehensive. It covers all aspects of life. This is what we call the sufficiency of Scripture. So very, very important. You want to know how to be a good husband? The Bible. You want to know how to be a good wife? The Bible. You want to know how to be an obedient child? The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. You want to know how to be a good citizen? The Bible. You want to know how to be a loving friend? The Bible. You want to know how to live your life? The Bible. It's all there. It's comprehensive. It's perfect. And then notice its power in verse 7, converting the soul. So the first thing the psalmist says is the law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. Now, what does that mean? It means that it restores the soul. It's a total transformation of the inner person, the inner man. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, Peter says, having been born again by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So only the Bible can change a person from the inside out. You know what the problem in our culture in America right now is? Not skin, sin. That's the problem. It's not the color of your skin, it's a sinful heart. And the Bible says all of us are like sinners. We've all transgressed, we've all rebelled against God. So the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And there's only one thing that can change men's hearts, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So our job is to get the word out, to preach the word, and to publish God's scriptures. It's got power to change the inner man. Now, what in sequential order a better place to start than the fact that the law of the Lord, which guides our life, is absolutely comprehensive, and it transforms the inner person. It converts the soul. Let's look at number 2, verse 7. The testimony of the Lord, there's the title, is sure, there's the nature, and it will make wise the simple, there's the power, or what it brings to the individual. So the testimony of the Lord means that God is testifying or witnessing. It's a self-revelation of God. It's like a courtroom scene, and God's brought in and put on the witness stand. Think about that. What are you going to make him do? Put his hand on the Bible and swear to God? He is God. So God takes the witness stand, and God speaks, and we listen. It's his testimony. And notice its nature in verse 7. Sure means reliable or trustworthy. Again, this is implying that it's inerrant. It's not fallible. It's infallible. It cannot err. It's incapable of being wrong. And then notice its power. Making wise, verse 7, the simple. What a great statement. Making wise the simple. The word simple means ignorant or does not know. The root idea in the Hebrew means open door. You know, you meet people and say, well, I'm not an atheist, I'm an agnostic. Well, the word agnostic comes from the Latin ignoramus. I just don't think I can know. And people say, well, you know, you just want to have an open mind. I just want to have an open mind. And that's fine to have an open mind, but once the truth gets in your brain, shut the door, please. Some people have, their minds are so open, nothing ever stays there. It just goes in, floats around, and then goes out. Goes in, floats around, and goes out, and then they never come to the truth. You know why Christians shut the door? Because we found the truth. You shut the door. I don't need anything to come in anymore. I know the truth, and the truth has set me free. Amen? So when he talked about the simple, he's talking about the person that just doesn't know. He's simple-minded. Have you ever met somebody who has a really high IQ, but they're really dumb? I mean, they can barely tie their shoe, but they have this huge high IQ. They don't know how to relate to people in life. They don't know how to live life. They don't know how to relate to their marriage. I would venture to say that I could not have possibly stayed married these over 40 years, and it's, I forget what it is, 40-something. That's when the preacher always gets in trouble when he talks about how long he's been married and he forgets in the middle of a sermon. 40-something. If it wasn't for the Bible. If I didn't read the Bible, and my wife didn't read the Bible, and we didn't love the Bible and obey the Bible, we wouldn't still be married. We would have bailed a long time ago. What God's Word has done in our marriage and done with our children, what God's Word has done in our life, it's amazing to think about God's power. When I talk to young people, I say, just get the Bible and begin to read it and begin to obey it and begin to apply it and begin to live by it, and you will have great success. Isn't that what God told Joshua? He told Joshua when he took over leading the people of Israel, he says, don't let this book depart from you. He says, but you read it, you meditate, you'll have good success, and you will prosper in all your ways. Read Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers, and everything he does is going to prosper. Not so the ungodly, they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. So the Bible is sure, it's reliable, it has the power, verse 7, to make wise the simple. And the wisdom there in the Hebrew is basically wisdom to live all of life. Notice the third statement about the Bible in verse 8. It's called the statutes of the Lord. It says that it's right, and it rejoices the heart. So you have the title, statutes of the Lord. It means precepts are propositions, are principles. God's principles are found in His Word. Then its nature, it is right. It means that it sets you on a right path. Psalm 119, Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible gives you direction and purpose in life. And then its power, in verse 8, it rejoices the heart. It sets you on the path of joy. You want to have joy, even in the midst of difficulty? Read God's Word. Take it to heart. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing you with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. I discover even in my own life, and I'm a pastor, and I get paid for studying the Bible and preaching the Bible, so I can do it every day, all day. But those times when I'm busy and I'm involved in other tasks and other things, and I kind of don't have time for the Word, I find my life drying up. I find the joy draining out of my life. And I know what I need to do, and I know where I need to go. I need to lock the door and get alone and open my Bible and begin to hear God speak to my heart, and for God to open up new truths in His Word. And then the joy, the songs come forth. Jeremiah 15:16, the prophet said, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. They became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Now, notice the fourth statement in verse 8. The commandments of the Lord are pure. They enlighten the eye. So the title given, Commandments of the Lord, suggests that we must obey them. Not suggestions, but commandments. Not recommendations, but commandments. They're imperatives. God's given us the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. And they're rules for life. They're liberating, not binding. Notice the nature of God's Word is pure. That is, it means it's clear. And this speaks of what's called the clarity of Scripture. You can understand the Bible. I meet people all the time, well, I don't understand the Bible. How can you not understand the Bible? God said what He meant. It meant what He said. Let me quote one verse to you. Thou shalt not steal. Well, I don't really understand that. Slap that dude. You mean you don't understand it? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, it all depends. God said what He meant and meant what He said. One of the liberal movements to Satan's attacks on the Bible these last several years has been not on its inspiration, but on its clarity. Oh yeah, the Bible's the Word of God, but it's really hard to understand. It's really hard to figure out. We don't really know. We can't speak dogmatically about the Bible. You just read it. God said what He meant what He said. You don't need to know Hebrew or Greek. We have Bibles that are good, accurate translations. We have modern vernacular in the Bible. We can understand God's Word. There's nothing difficult to understand. So God's Word is clear. It's not only comprehensive, it's not only sufficient, it's not only inspired, it's not only inerrant, but it's clear. The problem that we have is we do understand it, but we don't like it. I don't want to do what it says. And our sinful hearts want to rebel against God's Word. So it's clear. And then thirdly, notice verse 8, its power, it enlightens the eyes. I love that. It helps you see in a dark world what life is all about. You see or understand life clearly. Maybe you've just lost a loved one. Maybe a son or a daughter has been killed or died. So hard for parents to bury their children. Maybe you've been diagnosed with some disease. Maybe you have lost your job. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. But when you open the Bible, it gives you clarity and understanding, and lightens the eyes. Here's number 5. Look at it with me, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean. It endures forever. So here now we have the Scriptures called the fear of the Lord. That's the title. And what that means is that it teaches us how to worship God with reverential fear and humility. The Bible tells us to worship God in spirit and in truth. So when it talks about the fear of the Lord, this book teaches me the fear of the Lord, which the Bible says is the beginning of all wisdom. Then notice its nature, it's clean. Again, verse 9. It has no spot, it has no blemish. It's God's word. Some feel, again, it's talking about inerrancy. It's without error. It's impossible for it to be wrong because it comes from a God of truth who is holy. And then notice its power in verse 9. Enduring forever. The scriptures are the enduring word of God, unchanging and eternal because it's holy and without sin. Jesus said it like this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. It's the enduring word. God's word stands. Now we finally come to number 6, verse 9. The judgments of the Lord, there's the title, are true, there's its nature, and righteous altogether, there its power or its effect on your life. The judgments of the Lord, this is speaking of God as judge, adjudicating on his divine throne, giving his verdict on all matters. God is the judge of all the earth. The final authority is not the Supreme Court of the United States. The final authority is God's throne in heaven, amen? And one day we will all stand before this great judge. God is the final authority to tell us what is right and what is wrong. Not the government, not a court, but God himself and his word. And then secondly, its nature, it's true. John 17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. The Bible is the word of God. God cannot lie, so the Bible is true. And then notice its power. It says, and righteous all together. Now, there's a little bit of a dispute as to whether this righteous altogether is the power and effect, or it's found in verse 11, great reward. I think they're both applicable and true. That it's righteous altogether indicates that it brings about a comprehensive righteousness. It'll transform your life on the inside and outwardly, comprehensively. And only God's word can do that, and it will bring great reward. So to paraphrase it, I would say God's word is true, and it will comprehensively, completely transform your life and bring to you great reward. Now, how do we respond to the Bible? Verse 11 and, or 10 and 11. First of all, we desire God's word. It's to be desired more than gold, yea, than much fine gold. So the Bible is more valuable and more precious than gold. Do you value your Bible? Not just the physical leather and the paper and the ink, but the fact that it's God's word to you. So precious. It's more valuable than gold. I would rather have my Bible than all the money in the world. Take all the gold, all the treasures, all the riches of this world, and give me God's word. Without it, I am lost. And then he says, it's also sweet. It's like honey. It's sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And by them is thy servant warned. So it is priceless. It is sweet. It warns us, verse 11, by them thy servant is warned. And it rewards us. In keeping of them, there is great reward. So we desire it, we feed on it, and we obey it, and it brings to us the rewards. Now, in closing, verse 12 to 14, and we won't tarry on it, we have the witness or revelation of God within us. We see God as Redeemer. Verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, verse 14, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Notice, by the way, if I forgot when it says, O Lord, and talking about the commandments of the Lord and the statutes of the Lord, it's all capitals, L-O-R-D, meaning it's Jehovah or Yahweh. So in the first six verses, it's God, L-E-L, and then 7 through verse 14 or verse 11, It's Jehovah or Yahweh. Now, in verse 12 to 14, he ends by talking about God, you're my strength and you're my redeemer. It's a picture of how the psalmist has progressed from God revealing himself as creator to God revealing himself as instructor in the word to God now revealing himself as redeemer. You are my strength and my redeemer. But notice in verse 12, how do we understand our errors and how are we cleansed from secret faults? God's word. How do we keep back from presumptuous sins and they have not dominion over us? God's word. The words of my mouth need, verse 14, be scripture, and the meditation of my heart needs to be scripture, and then it will be acceptable in God's sight, my Lord, my strength, and my redeemer. So in verses 12 down to verse 14, he's talking about how the word of God comes into my heart, changes my life, and I come to know God as my redeemer. Now, again, this should have been a three-week series. We've covered a lot of ground in a quick time. But I think it's fascinating that there's a story in the New Testament that illustrates Psalm 19, the story of the three wise men, the Magi. Remember when Jesus was born in Bethlehem? That the three wise men, we don't know if there were three or not. We just know that they gave gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Since there's three gifts, we assume there's three wise men. There might have been six wise men, but it's kind of hard to get six wise men on the stage when you're doing a kid's play. So we only have three. But the wise men, okay? What's the first thing they saw? A star. The heavens declare the glory of God. Day unto day they utter their speech. Every language, every place, every part of the world, they can look up and say, wow, God is amazing. And the light that you're given in creation, if you respond, God will give you more light. This is the principle. God reveals himself. If you respond, he'll give you more revelation. If you reject, you go into darkness. If you suppress the truth and turn from God, you end up with a reprobate mind. We basically have a nation today of reprobate minds. They have no comprehension of what is right or wrong because this book has been removed from our culture. This is what made America great. This book is what made America great. George Washington, I don't know if it's okay to even quote him anymore. He said, without God and the Bible, it's impossible to govern a nation. How true that is. And those are the two things that we have rejected in the nation today, God and his word. Want to rid every mention of God? And we can. People hate America because America was founded on the Bible, the word of God. So the first thing they saw, let me get back to my Magi, is they saw a star and they followed it. Then what happened? They got to the Holy Land and guess what they did? They went to the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, and what did they do? They opened the Bible. They saw the scriptures.
The word of the Lord is pure and perfect. It changes lives and guides you in how to live. Through his word, God reveals himself to you to allow you to know him intimately and personally. Today, Pastor John explained that as you grow to know God more, you'll understand his word more completely and live your life with more faith and trust. God will guide you if you look to him and his word. Your life will be full of purpose and meaning.
Today's teaching with Pastor John Miller was brought to you by Revival Christian Fellowship. Our desire at Revival Radio is to reach as many people with God's word as possible, and your financial support continues to make this possible. We want to ask you to prayerfully seek the Lord about giving to Revival Radio, so the resources received will be used to expand this ministry's outreach onto more radio stations, like the one you're listening to today. And as the Lord leads you, please be faithful. We appreciate your prayer and financial support. You can give today by visiting our website at revival.tv/give. Again, to support Revival Radio and help us continue this good work, visit revival.tv/give.
God isn't simply a creator that dropped humanity on earth and stepped back for us to figure out life. He reveals himself to you through his word and in creation so you can navigate life well with his help. His word is the one thing that can change men's hearts. His word is also a call to all believers to share it with those who don't know Jesus. Pastor John encourages you to share his good news with boldness so it can transform others' lives like it has your own. That's all we have for today. Thanks for joining us for Revival Radio.